Why don't we start off with the flag salute? So everyone who has a flag, I pledge allegiance to the
To the
flag
flag
of the
of the
United
United
States of
States of
America
America,
and to the
to the
republic
Republic for
for
which it
which it
stands,
stands, one
one
nation
nation,
under God,
indivisible,
indivisible, with liberty and
liberty,
justice
justice
for
for
all.
all.
So this is the June 7th, 2021 virtual public meeting of the planning board of the township of Clinton, County of Hunterdon, State of New Jersey. Adequate notice of this meeting has been given in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act, and then an annual notice was published in the Hunterdon County Democrat, and the notice of an agenda for this meeting was posted on the township website, the bulletin boards at the front of the municipal building, the front door of the public safety building, and faxed to the Hunterdon County Democrat, the Express Times, the Courier News, the Hunterdon Review, and the Star Ledger no later than the Friday prior to the meeting. Madam Secretary, would you call the roll, please?
Certainly, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Butcher?
Yes.
Mr. Glaser?
Here.
Mr. Higgins?
So far, not here.
Ms. Johnson?
Again, so far not here, potentially absent.
No, I see her name.
She signed in. Maybe she's on mute.
Ah.
There she is.
There she is. Hello.
Hey.
Johnson, can you hear me?
Help me. Her speaker might be off.
Try to get her attention. Everyone start waving. My green hands. There we go.
Hey.
Kate, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you. Sorry about that.
Okay, that's okay. Okay, so you're here. Thank you. Ms. Kleinhans?
Here.
Mr. Lazarus?
Here.
Mr. Millay?
Here.
Mr. Scheich?
Looks like he's absent.
And Mr. Semay?
Here.
You have a quorum, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. All right. Thanks, everybody. Appreciate it. We have a couple of meeting minutes. The first one is March 1st, 2021. It's been previously sent out by Denise. Any questions or comments or suggested revisions?
Denise, did we fix that table on the nominations for the vice chair?
Yes, I did.
Perfect. Then I have no questions.
All right. Is there a motion to approve?
I'll move it.
And I'll second.
That was Mr. Lazarus and Mr. Glaser, right?
Thank you. I was just going to ask the same thing. Okay, Mr. Glaser?
Yes.
Ms. Kleinhans?
Yes.
Mr. Lazarus? Mr. Lazarus?
Yes, sorry.
That's okay. Mr. Millay?
Yes.
And Mr. Semay?
Yes.
The motion carries.
Thank you. We have the minutes from May 3rd. If I saw the communication, I think they just went out this morning. So if everybody is comfortable or have any comments, that's great. If you want more time, we can always postpone, but I'll leave it to the commission.
I just had a comment on it was just a mumble jumble on the what was it? It was on the I don't even have it in front.
Is anyone else having trouble hearing? Is anyone having trouble hearing Suzanne?
Yes.
Suzanne, you gotta speak up or turn up your mic.
Yeah, it's as high as it'll go, so I'm not sure what else I can do. I think maybe I'll have to call in on the phone next time because doesn't go any higher.
Well, we can hear you better now.
Yeah, go ahead.
I sent you an email, Denise, so you can read what I said in the email. But
Yeah, I actually don't have the email in front of me, but I did make those changes.
Oh, okay. Then I don't have anything else other than that.
Subject to those changes, Suzanne, and I think they're really more, were they substantive in nature or more just?
Well, I think a gremlin just got into the paragraph and messed it up a little bit, and it was kind of hard to understand. It was on the.
There was an extra phrase in the beginning of the sentence.
So as long as that was straightened out, I didn't have any other changes.
All right. If we're comfortable with that, I am. Is there a motion to approve?
I'll move to approve it.
I'll second.
Thank you, Ms. Kleinhans and Mr. Glazer. Roll call, please.
Mr. Glazer?
Yes.
Ms. Johnson? I'm sorry, Ms. Kleinhans?
Yes.
Mr. Millay?
Yes.
And Mr. Semay?
Yes.
The motion carries.
Thank you. We have a resolution. It's the new singular wireless PCS LLC, DBA AT&T, Block 59, Lot 3, 79 Beaver Avenue, Application 202103, Resolution 202105. This was a resolution memorializing waiver of site plan approval to allow a wireless telecommunications facility upgrade consisting of the installation of an emergency generator along with related equipment replacement removal.
And I know what the board has is version 3, and Ms. Kleinhans has made some suggested changes, which she gave to Denise. I've looked at them, and either Ms. Kleinhans, can you just read them into the record? And Denise has already inserted them into the resolution, and the record should reflect that Mr. Higgins is now here. So he should be marked present as of 7:07 p.m.
Okay. The first change is on page 3. It's the under A2. The height to the monopole is 140, supposed to be 140 feet tall instead of 137, so we made that change.
Right, so there were two places in the resolution. It referred to 140 in one or two places and 137. We're changing the 137 to 140.
Okay,
that was the first one. The second one was on page 5. It was under paragraph B. It was just the third line down. We talked about Township Ordinance Section 16.36.1, which doesn't exist. Well, I don't know if it exists in May, but it was supposed to be 165.36.1. Mm-hmm. So that change was made. Down at the same page at the bottom of the note, there's a space missing between the date of May 26, 1998, and the word provides. So Denise inserted that space. The next one was on page 8. And here we were just off a year on each date that was listed on the bottom, number 5, section number 5. It should have been June 7th, 2022 was the first one. That's when the construction, they had to obtain all zoning and construction permits by June 7th, 2022, not 2021. And that is within 1 year of the date within which the resolution was adopted, which is on today, which is June 7th, 2021, not 2020. And then the last changes are just on the people who voted and...
We corrected that.
That's, yeah.
Then the only other thing I want to say is there was a question in my mind as to exactly which carriers were on the poll. And I raised a question with Mr. Quinn, who I see is on here. I know he's here representing the applicant on the next application, but Mr. Quinn, if you could just turn your video on, because you were the attorney on this one. I sent out a question to Denise and to Chris saying, hey, something doesn't seem right about the T-Mobile antennas, because from the last date of approval that we have is like almost, how many years ago was it, Denise?
It was 2004, the last one that I show.
Okay, so, and that can't be right. Either there's no T-Mobile antennas on that pole, or, which has happened in the past, some of the carriers, and I'm not saying any of Mr. Quinn's clients have done this, but some of them just send out a crew for an upgrade and don't even apply for permits. So I asked Mr. Quinn about that. He said, I don't represent T-Mobile. I then contacted, you guys remember Frank Ferraro, who represented T-Mobile on the other one. He said he doesn't represent T-Mobile on this one. So we haven't gotten to the bottom of it. So my suggestion is let's adopt the resolution, and we're going to look into it. And if the resolution has to be corrected subsequently, we'll just correct it. But let's just get it adopted. That's my suggestion. Does anyone have a problem with that?
No, but John, I want it resolved, because all these things just seem to be, you know, taken for granted by these carriers. So, you know.
Not all the carriers.
This is easy. This is just facts, right?
Right. So Denise is on the case.
So in the interest of moving it along, but subject to making sure we find out what really happened here, and if we have to pull it, we pull it.
Correct. Well, put it this way. Whatever happened should be reflected in this resolution. Even it's not going to impact Mr. Quinn's client for this resolution. It's not going to impact AT&T Wireless, but the resolution should accurately reflect what's going on.
Correct.
And I don't want the resolution sitting out there and not being accurate.
Correct.
Right.
Okay. So based on all of that, based on Ms. Kleinhans's comments and John's point there, is there a motion to approve this resolution?
I'll make the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Glazer. Is there a second?
Ms. Kleinhans, can you second this, please?
I'm not eligible.
I thought I did. Okay. Okay. I
seconded that. Oh, we didn't hear you.
Thank you, Ms. Kleinhans. Roll call, please.
Mr. Glazer?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Ms. Kleinhans?
Yes.
Mr. Millay?
Yes.
And Mr. Smith?
Yes. Yes.
The motion carries?
Thank you. All right, we've got a few hearings coming up. The first one is adoption of the 2021 reexamination report of the master plan and development regulations.
Okay, so we're going to have Mr. Behrens is going to be the witness on these three hearings. First one up, like you just said, is a hearing on the adoption of the 2021 reexamination report of the master plan and development regulations. The second hearing will be the hearing on the adoption of the 2021 amendment to the housing element and fair share plan. And the third hearing is going to be on the adoption of the 2021 amendment to the land use plan element. So each of these they've all been noticed. The one notice contained all three, but I want to have three separate hearings. So I'm going to end up swearing in Mr. Behrens three times. So I'm just telling everyone now, in case you think it's a little strange or you're wondering why, that's why. So Mr. Behrens, can you raise your right hand? Do you swear the testimony you're going to give in this hearing will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay. And just for the record, you're the board and township planner, correct?
Correct.
So why don't you, the board has had the 2021 reexamination report of the master plan and the development regulations. Presumably they've read it. So why don't you just give a summary and you can answer any questions that might be asked of you either by board members or any members of the public.
All right. Thank you, John. Good evening, board members. So the report you should have in front of you is dated May 27th, 2021. As the board is aware, they adopted the last reexamination report of the master plan and development ordinances in March of 2020. This report has been prepared to address new development opportunities, primarily to provide affordable housing in the township. And the report itself does have the five required components in accordance with the MLU requirements for such a report, including the major problems and objectives relating to development at the time of the last report, the extent to which such problems and objectives have been reduced or increased since the last report, the extent to which there have been significant changes in the assumptions, policies, and objectives since the adoption of the last report, specific changes recommended for the master plan and development regulations, and recommendations for redevelopment. So specifically, one of the new development opportunities includes the potential rezoning of Block 70, Lots 6 and 6.01, which encompasses a total land area of 11.71 acres, which does have some environmentally constrained portions toward the rear of the property. The site itself is located along Route 31 North in the and has a current C1 commercial zone designation and is currently occupied by a veterinary office. It's adjacent to existing water and sewer infrastructure. And the proposal is to develop the site with a 146-unit inclusionary development with a significant affordable housing set aside of 55%. And is essentially guaranteed to yield 80 units of affordable housing, which is fairly substantial given the number of units being proposed. The report also includes another new development site, a rezoning, which is identified as Block 77.01, Lots 2, 3, and 4. This encompasses a site of approximately 2.44 acres. There is a 30-unit inclusionary development proposed there with a 20% affordable housing set aside, which would yield 6 units of affordable housing. And these two developments that I just mentioned, in addition to a proposed 3-unit group housing project, will potentially replace the previously approved Le Comte site, which was a 100.
Okay, when you say previously approved, it was never didn't have any site plan. It was a
no site plan, right?
That was in the prior
the housing plan,
housing element, right. And land use plan element, correct?
Right. So included in the maybe approved was
so
the
these mechanisms. These are replacement mechanisms for that mechanism, correct?
Right, on a one-for-one basis. So the 89 units that were proposed at the Le Comte site will be replaced entirely at these three other developments. And it's been determined that these three projects represent a more realistic opportunity to provide affordable housing in the township in a more timely manner, such as the housing process requires. And these changes are also reflected in the third amended settlement agreement to the township's affordable housing settlement with Fair Share Housing Center dated May 6, 2021. And with respect to other items in the reexamination report, also referenced are the new marijuana legislation that was passed earlier this year, as well as a new climate change requirement that municipalities have to address climate change in any comprehensive land use plan element moving forward. So if anyone has any questions, I'd be glad to address them.
By the way, Denise, are there any members of the public on? I see Chris Quinn, Adam Smith, and Matt Fields, but I have a feeling that Adam Smith and Matt Fields are with Chris Quinn on the next application.
I am under the same impression. I do not see anyone else. I do not see any members of the public.
Mr. Quinn, can you just confirm that Mr. Fields and Mr. Smith are with you?
Yes, definitely Mr. Fields.
We have a hard time hearing you. I heard you. You said yes, but.
I'll speak up. Mr. Beale, yes, they definitely with me.
Okay. Just, Chris, between now and when your case is called, you got to do something with the volume or we're going to have a problem.
Good.
Okay.
Okay, so we're confirming there are no members of the public in attendance at this time.
Any board members have any questions for Mr. Behrens? Otherwise, someone want to make a motion to adopt the 2021 reexamination report of the master plan and development regulations?
A quick question. I think it's not substantive, but my understanding is we amended the land use element in 2020 when we did that update. Do we need to mention that here or not? I don't think it was huge, but.
Technically, if we did, should have been mentioned, but it's not a critical mistake. Okay.
It's not a deal breaker. I'm
fine. It was referenced.
It was, yeah, I'm actually looking more at page one where we talk about
the
2006 land use element, you know, as amended in 2020. But if I don't think it changed things particularly relative to this in particular.
John, is that something that could be added as a non-substantive item?
Actually, yes, it can, because technically you don't even need a public hearing. You don't even need notice for a reexamination report. You only need it for the two amendments. So it could even be a substantive change, but in my opinion, this is not a substantive change. So whoever makes the motion, why don't you say you're making a motion to adopt this as it will be amended by Mr. Behrens to add a reference to that land use plan amendment. That's kind of an invitation, Mr. Glazer.
Yeah, well, I have one more question to ask you.
Okay.
In section 3.2, the recreational marijuana section, again, this is picky, it says the planning board supports the township adoption of 1150-221. Technically, we said it was not inconsistent with the township master plan. So it supports the same as not inconsistent?
Well, no, it's not. That's not at all the same. I think Mr. Behrens is making an assumption that this planning board supports it, and you would say that in there. If you want to stay neutral on it, just tell them to take that sentence out. Because this is not, you're not up to the master plan consistency review. You've already done the master plan consistency review of that ordinance.
Ah, so this is a separate statement.
This is a separate statement.
Got it. Okay.
I mean, I can revise it to say inconsistent as opposed to support or eliminate the sentence if that's preferable.
Kevin, if you're talking, we don't hear you.
Let's not move things further than they were. I would stick with facts, which is we found it not inconsistent. Easy enough.
Okay.
That's a second change when Mr. Glazer eventually makes the motion to adopt it.
And Mr. Drill, I'd be happy to make a motion that we adopt this as amended.
In those two respects.
In two respects.
Is there a second?
Lazarus, second.
Thank you. Roll call.
Denise.
Okay. Ms. Butcher?
Yes.
Mr. Glazer?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Ms. Kleinhans?
Yes.
Mr. Lazarus?
Yes.
Mr. Millay?
Yes.
And Mr. Sumay?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Continuing on our hearings, we have the adoption of the 2021 amendment to the housing element and fair share plan elements of the master plan.
So, Mr. Behrens, raise your right hand. Do you swear the testimony you're going to give with respect to this hearing will be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth?
I do.
So, you prepared for the board a proposed 2021 amendment to the housing element and fair share plan elements of the master plan, and the board has presumably reviewed them. And tonight is the hearing on whether or not to adopt that. And could you please give your testimony summarizing it and then make yourself available to answer any questions about it?
Will do. Thank you, Mr. Drill. Tom Behrens again, planner with Burgess Associates. The board should have before it the 2021 amendment to the housing element and fair share plan dated May 27, 2021. This would be an amendment to the adopted April 27, 2018 housing element and fair share plan. Like the reexamination report, this amendment has been prepared to implement the three projects previously proposed, which again are the potential rezoning of block 70 lots 6 and 6.01 to accommodate the development of a 164-unit inclusionary development with a 55% affordable housing set aside, which would yield 80 affordable units. It would also include the rezoning of a site along Gray Rock Road, identified as block 70.01, lots 2, 3, and 4, which would be 30 units over a 2.44 acre site with a 20% affordable housing set aside, yielding 6 units. That would also include a three unit group home project at a site to be determined. And these three units together combine for an affordable 89 units of affordable housing credits, which would replace the Le Cobb site, which was previously included in the 2018 housing element fair share plan, is being replaced by these three other sites. And again, this replacement three sites for the one Le Cobb site is referenced in the third amendment to the township's affordable housing settlement agreement with Fair Share Housing Center, dated May 6, 2021. And last but not least, the amendment includes a site suitability analysis of all three sites, demonstrating that all three projects are approvable, developable, suitable, and what's the other of all? Available. Excuse me. So if anyone has any other questions, I'd be...
Just a quick question. This proposed amendment to the land use, to the housing element and fair share plan also, does this recommend, or does the land use plan amendment, which you haven't testified about yet, recommend that the Le Cobb site go back to its original rezoning? Is that mentioned in this one or just the other one?
Bear with me and I can tell you.
I know it's in the land use plan element, but it doesn't have to be in the housing element. I'm just curious.
Yeah. Both reports or both amendments say it will revert back to the RO, so the housing plan. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, page three, right?
Yes.
I have no further questions. Any board members have any questions?
Page two. Under number one, there's a full paragraph starts pursuant to COA regulations. It references addressing the borough's RDP. I think we mean the townships. I think it's just an artifact.
Typo.
Yes.
Good call.
And then I also think this is a semantics thing, and I don't think it matters. But the third amendment talks about the town. I'm reading. I'm sorry. The township will fund three municipal-sponsored special needs affordable housing bedrooms be created in the township. This talks about a three-bedroom special needs project. Those are equivalent, or are they different?
That's a very good point.
So it kind of rolls through in this maybe in three different places. It's a subtle difference, maybe.
Yeah. Okay. And my recollection of the settlement agreement is just three special needs beds, not a three special need project.
So I think that comes through in page one in the last paragraph by my notes. We might want to change the wording in the table on page two where we say municipally sponsored special needs home. We might want to say three bedrooms.
Right.
And then I think it also is mentioned in I'm sorry, I thought I saw it a third place.
Bill missed his calling as a lawyer.
On page, I did a lot of this stuff right. On page 10 in the special needs housing. And though that one I think is closer. So Mr. Brown's with three bedrooms of special needs. I think that one's actually fine. On page 10, the paragraph, the township's third amendment, a municipal sponsor, three bedrooms of special needs affordable housing at a location. That's exactly the wording for the language. So it's those two other places only. I'm sorry.
I will make that change. Thank you for those changes.
But, John, I don't think those are substantive. I don't think that clears the hearing.
No, I agree. In my opinion, they're not substantive. Any other questions?
Sorry, with those, any other questions or comments? If not, a motion to approve with those minor changes?
Lazarus, so moved.
Glazer seconds.
Thank you, Mr. Lazarus and Mr. Glazer. Roll call.
Ms. Butcher?
Yes.
Mr. Glazer?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Ms. Kleinhand?
Yes.
Mr. Lazarus?
Yes.
Mr. Millay?
Yes, and well done, Mr. Glazer.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Thank you. All right. The third hearing here is on the adoption of the 2021 amendment to the land use plan element of the master plan. I will leave it to both of our attorneys, Mr. Drill and Mr. Glazer. Kidding.
Mr. Behrens, could you please raise your right hand?
Yeah.
Do you swear the testimony you're going to give during this hearing will be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay. So the proposed 2021 amendment to the land use plan element of the master plan was prepared by you on behalf of the planning board. It's been circulated. The planning board has presumably reviewed it. And you're here to testify, basically summarize it, and then be able to answer any questions about it, right?
Correct.
Can you do that?
All right. Yes, I can. So the land use plan amendment that the board has before it is dated May 27th, 2021. And this comes after the land use plan amendment that was adopted in, I believe it was March of 2020, and also amends the 2006 land use plan element of Clinton Township. Very similar to the first two documents we've discussed, this document was prepared in order to facilitate the development of those three projects previously mentioned. And again, those are the development of Block 70, Lot 6 and 6.01 to accommodate a 146-unit inclusionary development with 80 units of affordable housing, the Gray Rock Road development on at Block 70.01, Lots 2, 3, and 4 with a 30-unit inclusionary project, including 20% of set-aside or six affordable units, and as well as three group home bedrooms at a site to be determined in the township. And these three components of the township's now adopted 2021 housing element fair share plan would replace the 89 units previously considered at the LeComp site on Block 29, Lot 4. The amendment also recognizes the creation of the CROM or Commercial Research Office and Manufacturing Zone along Route 22 that was recommended in the 2020 reexamination report, which consolidated the previous C2, ROM3, and ROC zone designations. And the amendment also identifies the recent marijuana legislation. So if the board has any questions.
Yep. This first question for me, I know I asked this before in relation to the housing element and fair share plan elements, but what does the land use plan element say about the LeComp site's zoning after it recommends these three new projects to replace it?
Right. So the LeComp site, again, Block 29, Lot 4, is currently zoned the AH7 Affordable Housing Zone, which was created to facilitate that 89-unit development in the 2018 housing plan. And the plan amendment recommends that that site revert back to its prior zone designation, which was the ROM1 zone, Research Office and Manufacturing 1 zone.
Thank you. And, Mr. Chairman, I have no further questions.
Well, I'll make my three comments, being Brian's lawyer on this one. In the first paragraph on page one, we talk about the 2006 land use plan. Do we want to talk about the amendment in 2020 or not? I don't know. Probably maybe we do.
Yeah, it's a non-substantive change. Let's dot the I's across the T. Yep.
And then I think we probably play with the language number four on page eight. Instead of Mr. Bouncer, three bedrooms, we talk about – oh, hold on. No. Yeah, Mr. Thoughts are three bedroom specialties affordable housing and locate. I think that language is consistent. I think we're okay with that language.
Correct. I believe that language is fine.
And then I think in the final, very final paragraph on number 10, we changed the planning board supports to the planning board found the marijuana ordinance not inconsistent.
Correct. And again, in my opinion, that's a non-substantive change.
Perfect.
And that's factually what happened.
Accurate. Right. Scrivener's error.
Anybody else have any questions or comments? If not, with those minor revisions, is there a motion to approve?
I'll make the motion.
I'll second it.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Glazer and Mr. Higgins.
Ms. Butcher? Ms. Butcher?
Yes.
Thank you. Mr. Glazer?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Ms. Kleinhans?
Yes.
Mr. Lazarus?
Yes.
Mr. Millay?
Yes.
And Mr. Sumay?
Yes. Thank you. Oh, a lot of good progress. Thank you all for going through this. We have a...
I just real quick want to applaud Brian and Bill and the governing body for all the work on the affordable housing plan. Well done.
Perhaps the vice chair of the planning board too.
Yeah, there's a lot here that it seems easy, but I know a lot of the work went in behind it is a lot. All right, we now have a master plan consistency review.
Ordinance. Now on this one, this is not a hearing, and we don't have to swear in Mr. Behrens. And what the municipal land use law says is anytime an ordinance is introduced upon first reading by the township council, it has to be referred to the planning board for the planning board to make a determination on whether it's consistent with the master plan, inconsistent with the master plan, but the board can also say it's not inconsistent with the master plan. And so my suggestion is that you hear from Mr. Behrens, since he had a large hand in drafting the ordinance, and since he also will have an opinion on its consistency, not inconsistency or inconsistency with these master plan elements, which you guys have just adopted.
Okay.
Mr. Behrens, do you have an opinion on this?
Sure. Do you want me to give an overview of the ordinance, or is the board familiar with it? I'll be brief.
I think for the record, an overview of the ordinance would be a good idea.
Okay, I'll run through it real quick. So the board, as was mentioned, the governing body introduced ordinance number 1154-2021, which would create the AH9 Affordable Housing District to facilitate a mixed income affordable housing development at block 70, lots 6 and 6.01. And again, that's an 11.71 acre site along Route 31 North. And this ordinance was designed to accommodate a 164 unit inclusionary development project, primarily in a multifamily configuration. That would be the only permitted use in the only principal permitted use in the zone, as well as a number of permitted accessory uses such as a clubhouse, community center, tot lot, and typical amenities that you would find with a multifamily development in Clinton Township. The ordinance also includes the bulk requirements for the development, that it must be developed on at least 11 acres, or essentially the entire tract in question, that it can be up to 3 stories in height, and would have the setbacks and the coverages provided in the ordinance. And the ordinance also includes or stipulates the affordable housing requirement of no less than 55% of the 146 units, which is again 80 units of low and moderate income housing. It also addresses parking and circulation, as well as design requirements applicable to the building and the site. So that is the ordinance in a nutshell. And with respect to the master plan consistency review of the ordinance, I will note that the site is specifically identified in the 2021 reexamination report, land use plan element amendment and housing element and fair share plan element amendments that were just adopted by the board. So in that respect, it is not only not inconsistent, I would say it's substantially consistent with those three documents. And the site is also included in the township's third amendment to its settlement agreement with Fair Share Housing Center dated May 6, 2021. And beyond those three documents, I think if we, set aside the three that were just adopted tonight, I believe the creation of the AH9 zone and the development contemplated with the zoning would also be supported by previously existing master plan goals and objectives, which include protecting environmentally sensitive areas. This site will be located away from the environmentally sensitive areas on the easterly portion of the site with substantial buffers from development. So those areas would be protected, and the site developed accordingly. The proposed development definitely meets or addresses a portion of the township's affordable housing needs. Again, it'll produce at least 80 units of affordable housing, and we believe that that would happen in a timely manner as compared to some other sites in town. Again, its adjacency to existing sewer and water infrastructure make it an attractive site, as well as its location in a developed portion of the township. Another goal of the township's master plan is to promote redevelopment in suitable areas of the township or community. Again, for the reasons I stated, we believe this to be a suitable area. And we have crafted the setbacks and design criteria in such a way that it would preserve the rural character of the township along this stretch of Route 31. And last but not least, it is a form of cluster development that, again, allows for a certain density on this particular site, which relieves development pressure elsewhere in the township. So for those reasons, at a minimum, I think the board can determine that the ordinance is not inconsistent with the township's master plan.
Right, but your opinion is it's substantially consistent with the master plan, correct?
Yes, it is. I would agree with that, yes.
I have nothing to ask him other than that.
All right. Any questions or comments from the board?
And just to confirm, it's 146 units. I think you might have said 164, so it might have been sure. So it's 146.
146, correct, yes.
It seems obvious that it's very consistent, not merely not inconsistent.
I agree completely. And it's very consistent. I mean, the way the setbacks work, the clubhouse is back 50 feet. The first building is back even further. It's screened by trees. I do think it meets our rural components. I think it's consistent as well.
And we're going to provide pedestrian access, which is kind of a rare thing in some locations. So.
All right. So is there a motion perhaps to make to say that this is consistent versus not inconsistent, the double negative? What's your preference, board?
Well, I'll make the motion, and if we have a second, splendid. If not, change the language.
Make the motion that's consistent. Make the motion that's consistent?
Yes.
Yeah, second to consistent.
All right, thank you, Mr. Lazarus. Sorry, thank you, Mr. Higgins and Mr. Lazarus. Roll call, please.
Okay, just a clarification. Are we saying that it's consistent?
It's we're going to say substantially consistent. That's the motion, Mr. Higgins, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
And this one, the two adoptions, in fact, the three adoptions are going to get very short resolutions, but this master plan consistency review is a letter from Denise to the township clerk.
Okay, roll call.
Ms. Butcher?
Yes.
Mr. Glaser?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Ms. Kleinhans?
Yes.
Mr. Lazarus?
Yes.
Mr. Millay?
Yes.
Mr. Millay?
Yes.
And Mr. Schimek?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion passed.
Great. Thank you all. All right. We have a public hearing. I don't think we have anybody from the public, but we do have a public hearing. It's the new Singular Wires PCS LLC, 1130 Route 22, Block 4.03, Lot 3601. The applicant is seeking a waiver of site plan application review to modify an existing telecommunications facility. I believe we have Mr. Quinn and team.
Yes, hi, good evening.
Great, we can hear you, super.
Okay, great, I just wanted to make sure, I'm glad. Thank you for your time tonight. I was here a couple months ago with one facility that AT&T had in the township that is looking to upgrade. this is another one, again, on 1130 Route 22 in the new CROM zone. There is a 150-foot pole on the property with various telecommunications antennas on it. We will go over each one with you for all the carriers, specifically AT&T, which is the applicant here. They've been there since 2003, and their antennas are around 110 feet on that slot, the lowest carrier on the pole. Okay? Their installation is 12 antennas on the pole. The tops of their, I think the center line of their antennas is 112 feet. They have ground equipment on a concrete pad inside a 200 square foot concrete pad. So cabinets on that. What we're looking to do for this upgrade, and it's for LTE and to expand their frequency bands as AT&T acquires more frequency bands for different technologies, the antennas have to be upgraded. So that's what this modification is for. They're replacing six of the 12 antennas. They're also replacing the antenna mount that holds the antennas. They're replacing these nine ancillary radio, remote radio head units, RRH units, with 12 new ones. They're located behind the antennas. And on the ground, there'll be two equipment cabinets are being replaced with new equipment cabinets, all on the existing pad. So we are seeking a waiver of site plan approval under your ordinance. Would submit that it could be either under A, about secured prior site plan approval and the proposed development has insignificant impact, or again, this particular project doesn't affect any kind of circulation, drainage, or other types of site plan considerations.
Okay, so if there's no, who do you have as witnesses tonight?
Matthew Fields is my engineer, will be my witness tonight.
Okay, so who is Adam Smith?
He's just here to observe.
Ah, he's looking over your shoulder. Okay. Matthew Fields is a RF engineer or a civil engineer?
Yeah, civil.
Okay, so Mr. Fields, just wave to everybody. Okay, so I'm going to ask you and Mr. Behrens to both raise your right hands. And do both of you swear or affirm that the testimony you're going to give in this hearing will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay. Go ahead, Mr. Quinn.
Sure. Mr. Fields, state your name spell for the record, please.
My name is Matt Fields, M-A-T-T-F-I-E-L-D-S.
By whom are you employed in what capacity?
I'm employed by Engineer Tower Solutions, a civil engineering firm headquartered in North Carolina. I am vice president and co-founder of the company.
And that ETS is the name of the firm that prepared the plans or submitted as part of this application?
Yes, sir.
Are you a professional engineer holding a license from the state of New Jersey?
Yes, sir.
Have you ever testified before in front of other boards like this about land use matters?
No, sir.
So this is your first time.
Mr. Quinn brings a lot of first-time testifiers to this board.
This is the second newbie.
Yeah.
Again, I literally told him that the last time we had the same conversation, and I told him we would expect it. So I said it's a good application to get used to. So and a good board to testify.
I will tell you,
so,
of all my boards, this is the best board for new witnesses. They're kind. They ask very intelligent questions. You're in. Hopefully, all your experiences will be what you're about to experience tonight.
So, again, you have a professional license, correct?
Yes, sir.
And you prepared the plans that were submitted as part of this application.
That's correct.
Are you familiar with the property and the project being proposed here by AT&T?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I would submit Mr. Fields as a licensed civil engineer.
Does anybody on the board have any questions or concerns with Mr. Fields?
Can we accept him as an engineering expert?
We will accept him as an engineering expert.
Okay. Matt, I'm going to ask you to share your screen if you have that capability to show the plans that were submitted as part of this application.
And just for the record, the plans are, the board has the plans and everything, so unless you're going to be showing something new, no need to mark any exhibits tonight.
That's our goal. So I'm going to ask you to describe for the board, I guess, general overview of the site, Again, it's on Route 22, in between Route 22 and 78. But describe for the board this particular site, what is there within this compound right now, and then what ATT is going to propose to do here. Right. Okay, and I think that's probably the easiest way.
Right, and at some point, doesn't have to be now, but at some point, there's a picture that shows three sets of antenna arrays. So at some point, have him identify whose antennas belong to which carriers and at what height they are.
Yes. Okay, we're going to get there. Okay?
Yep.
So Matt, why don't you just get started, and you can refer, I guess, to maybe C1.1 when you start talking about the actual compound itself. And C1.2.
Okay. So, again, this project is a telecommunication site located between Interstate 78 and US 22. It's a monopole tower. Yeah, I think this is the drawing you were looking at, Mr. Drill.
Yes.
So we'll attack this one first. AT&T is the lowest carrier. They're centered at 112 feet. And the top of their antennas is at 114 feet.
And I'm just going to stop you. Can I just stop you right there? After each carriage, I want to make sure, because I know this is additional information. AT&T was initially approved by resolution 2003-14. And their last modification was approved in resolution 2013-01.
Just for the record, 2003-14 was memorialized what approval?
The minor site plan approval for them to co-locate on this pole.
Right. And 2013-01 memorialized a site plan waiver for what?
A modification of the antennas. Okay. And the overall facility. Okay. Now, I'll let you, Matt, go to the next carrier up.
Okay. The next carrier is Sprint, and they are located at 127 feet. The top of their highest antenna is 130 feet.
And again, I, for the record that I've seen, this was approved in resolution 2001-03. And I have not seen any resolution since that would have modified this installation.
Can you do that one again?
2001-03. And I didn't see any resolutions or approvals under the township's records that modified this approval.
Okay, so which carrier is that?
Sprint.
And those antennas are still up there, right? Well, put it this way. Does Sprint at some point merged with T-Mobile? And there seems to be a problem with Sprint and T-Mobile on some of these towers. So which antenna array are you saying the Sprint approval applies to?
The third one down. Is that correct? Mr. Fields?
Yes.
And what's the, I have a plan in front of me, but just for the record, what's the height on that one says 100, the center line is 127 feet?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I am not picking on you or anything. Just trying, where did the information come from to go on to detail one on sheet C2? So did you guys shoot that with a laser, or did that come from, you know, past applications?
That was provided from the previous or the structural analysis for this change.
Denise, after this thing, we got to just start getting these things confirmed. Maybe we should have, you know, before the hearing, start getting the things confirmed. So all right, keep on going. So you have no, Denise, just check to see, not now, obviously, but it is mind-boggling that Sprint could have antennas that haven't changed since 2001 at 127 feet on this pole.
Yeah,
so I see that there was an elevation. It looks like Sprint was at 120 feet, or are those a different type of antenna at 120 feet?
Those are actually radios mounted on the tower. Those are what provide power to the antennas.
Okay, so that's part of the Sprint installation at 127 feet?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I just want to know, how long have you been doing the telecommunication engineering? Were you doing it back in 2000, 2001?
No, sir.
All right, I'm just curious because way back when they didn't have this sort of thing. So I'm guessing that whatever's on that pole at 120 feet was put in after 2001. But again, that's not your problem. But Denise, add that to the list. Sorry about that. Keep on going.
Okay. So the next one up, the second. So second one from the top, that is T-Mobile?
That is T-Mobile. Center line of antennas are at 140 feet, and top of antenna is at 144 feet.
Okay, so this drawing shows the center line at 139 feet.
And that would be the center line of the mount.
So the center line of the mount could be different than the center line of the antenna.
On occasion. And in this instance, it was recorded as such.
And let's get the resolution number on that one, the initial and the last.
Sure. The initial resolution for T-Mobile was resolution 5-99, and that was the approval for the initial tower itself. And they actually had a number of amendments, the last of which was 2018-02.
And that last one from 2018 was a site plan waiver, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And now the top carrier?
Top carrier is Verizon. Center line of antennas is 150 feet with the top of the antenna at 153 feet.
Now that one was approved by resolution 2015-20. And again, I've not seen any resolution from our OPA request that showed them modifying that those antennas. But that was only in 2015.
Now, what was that? Did you look at resolution 2015-20?
Yes.
And what was that one for?
That was for the increase in height for the pole extension, as well as for Verizon's initial installation on that pole.
Right. Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. So now let's talk about what AT&T is proposing. So since you have this, why don't you go back to the elevation detail on the next sheet. So why don't we talk about the antennas first, just because they're in front of us. And again, AT&T is at the lowest slot, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. So why don't we talk about what's changing on the pole?
Okay. So what they're proposing to do is to replace this mount with a similar size mount, just stronger. And then they will be removing six antennas, six radios, and six tower-mounted amplifiers. They're going to be replacing those with six new antennas and six new radios.
And the radios are located behind the antennas, correct?
That is correct.
So, again, not particularly visible. They're much smaller. They're about the size of maybe a large shoebox, but not and won't be visible for the public.
That's correct.
When you say radios, you mean RHs, radio heads?
Yes.
Yeah, RRH. These particular ones are Nokia. What's being removed is is an Alcatel-Lucent RRH, and they're different frequencies. But these particular ones that are manufactured by Nokia are, if you'll allow me, I'm looking for the...
Well, we're looking for that. Can you explain to the board what is an RRH? What does it do, and why is it necessary?
Basically, to the extent of my knowledge, the RRH is simply provide power for the antenna. So the coax cables will run up the tower into the RRH, and then from the RRH into the antenna.
So I think the history of these, when you first probably started seeing these, or some of the board members who have been around for a decade or so, or more, 2 decades at this point, is that you would have seen the antennas located all on the pole, and at the base you would have these radios that'd be within their equipment compound. And I think as the technology's been evolving, what's happened is that there basically would be signal loss between the antennas and where the radios were located. So what the carriers realized, and especially necessary when they have all these higher frequency bands that are operating, is that to be more efficient and to operate better and not need as many sites, by locating these small boxes behind the antennas, these remote radio heads, they're actually acting much more efficiently for being able to send and receive signals. So there's not as much signal loss between the antennas and the radios caused by 150-foot runs of cables. So that's why you'll see these boxes here now on pretty much almost any installation that they're allowed to. The exception may be on a PSE&G tower or something to that effect, on a transmission tower. But I don't want to speak out of turn, but that's just for information for the board.
Would you say that it essentially acts as a booster in a way by locating it closer?
I don't know if it's necessarily so, as I'd say, a booster, but it's really
it just improves the booster.
It's the actual receiver itself. Okay. It's more the receiver itself. So it's more the part that communicates and transfers the signal into the data. So that's what it really is. Okay, so I guess just real quick, you described the size of the new antennas versus the old antennas.
Let me get to that information. So the existing antennas that we're removing are 4'3" high, 5 inches wide, and 3.2 inches deep. There are three of those. There are three additional that are 4'3" high, 11.9 inches wide, and 7.1 inches deep. The antennas that will replace that, there's six in total. They're 4'7" high, 1'7.6" wide, and 7.8 inches deep.
So they're a little bit taller, a little bit wider, but again, at the same height. And not increasing the height of the pole, not increasing the width of the pole. The mount's the same size mount, correct?
That is correct.
But the antennas will be a little bit larger. Okay, now can we talk about the equipment and what's changing on the ground?
So if we'll look at, this is the AT&T equipment pad, and what they are proposing to do, here's the existing equipment. They're proposing to remove three cabinets, these three cabinets right here, and they're going to replace them with three cabinets, two that are equal in size and one slightly smaller cabinet.
And then can you just refer to sheet C-1.1 just to show where AT&T is? So Everything's being proposed within that same equipment compound, correct?
That is correct.
And actually within all of AT&T's footprint on their equipment pad? the concrete pad? And yes. About the height of the cabinets, is anything going to be, how tall are these? They're about the same height as they were before?
The existing equipment that's going to be removed is 6 foot high, and one of them is 7 foot high. The new equipment is 4 foot 10 inches high, and two of them are 6 foot high.
Okay. So actually a slight reduction in terms of height.
That's correct.
So this project, there's nothing being proposed, nothing being changed outside of the fenced in compound, correct?
That is correct.
And in your opinion, is there any kind of, will be a significant impact in terms of the scope of this project?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
Will this project have a significant impact on the neighborhood or in the area?
No, sir.
Will it affect any types of site plan considerations, issues that you would normally see on a project, for instance, drainage or landscaping or buffering or lighting here?
No, sir.
Just pretty much exactly once it's constructed, it'll pretty much be the same operation and unmanned facility it's been there for years, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. I guess that's all the direct questions I have. We can certainly be happy to answer any questions that the board may have. Or
could you take the plan off the screen so everyone can see each other? Thanks.
Any questions from the board? This is a public hearing. I do see someone else on. Is there anybody from the public who wants to comment?
Anyone from the public? We know that Adam Smith is with the applicant. It says Walter Wilson is on. Mr. Wilson, you have any questions for this witness?
No, thank you.
Okay.
All right. So this seems pretty straightforward in terms of...
I'll tell you what, if we're going right to Mr. Wilson, you have any testimony you want to give on this application?
Nope, just listening along.
Okay, so I guess there's no one in the public to ask any questions or to make any comments.
Nope.
If the board doesn't have any questions, the issue is someone wants to make a motion to waive site plan. I guess you could do an A1 and an A3.
Right,
like Mr. Quinn suggested, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that either of those or both of those certainly fit in this scenario.
Yep. Is there a motion or a preference?
I'll make the motion to use both of them
for the A1 and the A3. Thank you, Ms. Kleinhans. Is there a second?
Lazarus, second.
Thank you, Mr. Lazarus. Roll call.
Ms. Butcher?
Yes.
Mr. Glaser?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Ms. Kleinhans?
Yes.
Mr. Lazarus?
Yes.
Mr. Millay?
Yes.
And Mr. Semay?
Yes.
Great. Thank you very much. And again, as we had talked, I guess, with the last one, if at all possible, we'd prefer to be able to file for our zoning permits now so we can proceed, because this was just a site plan waiver. And it doesn't necessarily require changes to the plans or anything else.
Put it this way, as far as I'm concerned, my advice to the board is there's no condition for revising any of the plans. Mm-hmm. So, again, you can't direct your zoning officer what to do, but you could recommend or ask her if she would be willing to treat the application as if the resolution was adopted, even though it hasn't even been prepared yet, because there are no plan revisions necessary.
Are we okay with that, everybody?
Yep.
Yes. So, Denise, can you ask the zoning officer?
Yeah. Can you ask yourself to please treat this?
I asked myself. I said
okay,
yes.
Thank you.
And you said yes.
Thank okay. you so much. Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Nice job, Mr. Smith.
Yes.
Yeah, and nice job to our first-time expert.
Yes, Mr. Fields, congratulations. Good luck going forward.
When someone asks you now, have you ever been qualified before, you're going to be able to say yes. Clinton right. Township Planning Board, June 7, 2021.
Qualified by the best.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, guys. Have a great night, everyone.
Okay, you too.
Take care. Bye.
That was a lot of work, you guys and gals. Thank you. So we do have some new business. We have the vouchers. So Denise posted them. I've reviewed them. I am okay. Are there any questions or concerns with the vouchers? If not, I'll make the motion. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
John got it.
Thank you. Roll call.
Ms. Butcher?
Yes.
Mr. Glaser?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Ms. Kleinhans?
Yes.
Mr. Lazarus?
Yes.
Mr. Millay?
Yes.
And Mr. Sumay?
Yes.
The motion carries.
Thank you. So it's time for some reports.
Does anyone else feel like all we do is cell phone towers anymore?
they come in waves. That's how it's been throughout the years.
New technology.
Once someone comes into the area and upgrades their system, then the other people feel like they have to come in and upgrade their system.
Okay. Makes sense.
I think it was more a statement on the paucity of other applications.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that was.
That's not how I looked at it.
All right, is there a council update?
I'm going to delegate this one to Bill.
Yeah, and I'm just going to delegate it back because I didn't have time to really think about it.
I was thinking about it. Our last meeting was pretty quick. I would suggest that the meat of what we're currently up to, you've just discussed at the beginning of this meeting and spent a lot of Tom's elbow grease swearing him in so that we move this stuff along.
Good. Ordinance subcommittee?
No real update. Events have interfered. So still the two main things on the topic are the tech review committee and the REIT 31 rezoning. So maybe now that we got a few ordinances, master plan reviews out of the way, we can reconvene and think about that. And I'm looking at you, Mr. Higgins.
I'm feeling it guilty as well. So let's pick a time.
All right. You after the meeting, we'll pick a time. We'll set that up.
All right. John, Laz, you're around on Wednesday afternoons, right? Is that the best time?
Any time after about 2 o'clock or so was good for me.
Okay.
We'll try that. Okay, I'll be in touch with you guys.
Good. I actually have two environmental commission meetings. The big news there is they're really working on the Windy Acre trails and markers. They're going to do they're going to notice a meeting to be able to go look at potential recommendations for markers and signs. It's Father's Day at this point, early in the morning. The other news, which I'm sure you may have heard, but Andrew Holt is stepping down next year, so he's done a great job, I think, in the last couple of years, but he'll have some shoes for the council to fill.
He'll be sorely missed there for sure.
Yeah, he's done a real good job in the last couple of years. So
his job right now is to find his replacement.
Good. Anything else?
Can I just remind folks to go out and vote tomorrow? It's primary day, and good luck to Mr. Glaser in his first time on the ballot, even though it's a non-competitive election.
Thank you, Mr. Osworth. I have a question for Mr. Drill, if I could. It seemed like yesterday, but we updated the recreation open space plan. I know we've done a ton of work on trails and other things. Are we under any time constraint to update that, or we have time? It's already been 3 years.
I believe you have time, but if you're talking about for Rossi purposes, you should ask Trishka.
The Rossi's been updated numerous times. We should be totally fine on the Rossi.
Yeah, I think you're fine, but you just check with Trish.
All right.
Hey, can I ask Brian and Bill? You know, we're now back at Governor Murphy has really reduced the requirements. You know, I know in my day job, I've been going to council and planning board meetings for the last 6 months. What is the thoughts about having at least a hybrid comeback? Because as much as I like sitting in my study here, you know, I think getting back to normal does make some sense.
Yeah. So from the council's perspective, we will be planning to make an in-person comeback, I believe, in July. We were thinking the summer is a really good time because it's a little quieter to reintroduce everybody to going back in person and get acclimated to the room and make sure we're spaced and feeling good. So I think our July meeting, which may be moved from the 7th to the 14th, we'll probably be back in person. I don't know if there's a necessity to maintain virtual meetings for the planning board, but I think we can have those who might not be able to make it in person call in, I think. Right.
Yeah. So I rendered two opinions on this issue. The first is, so Governor Murphy in this executive order 244, he terminated the health emergency, but he extended for another 30 days the state of emergency. As long as there's some state of emergency, whether it's state level, county level, local level, the emergency regulations from the DCA allow virtual meetings. Now, for a governing body, it's actually a lot less complicated than it is for a planning board or a board of adjustment, because the non-hearing part of a planning board meeting, governed by the Open Public Meetings Act, anytime you have a hearing, it's governed by the municipal land use law. The municipal land use law does not contemplate virtual hearings. So once the first part of my opinion is once the governor terminates the state of emergency, and assuming there's no other emergency, the planning board cannot, in my opinion, hold virtual meetings. However, you can hold an in-person meeting, and like I believe Kevin just said, under the Open Public Meetings Act, members can participate in an in-person meeting electronically. Now, I wrote an article back in 2012, prior to Superstorm Sandy, after that, the hurricane that came before that. And what my opinion was, under the Open Public Meeting Act, as it was then worded, if you had an administrative matter, vote on the minutes, the reports you just did, adopting a resolution, not holding a hearing, members could even call in. And you could have a quorum calling in as long as you had someone in the municipal building. So someone had to be there so that members of the public were there and could hear everything. If you had a hearing, I rendered an opinion. There's no case law on it, but my opinion was to have a hearing, a board member has to be able to hear and see. You got to be able to see the witnesses so that you could judge credibility. You have to be able to see the exhibits. Well, this was before, you know, Zoom and before all this technology. So right now it's rather easy to do that. So in my opinion, as long as you have once the governor terminates the state of emergency and you have to have an in-person meeting, who's going to have to be in the room? Board secretary, chairman. It would be nice. It would look better, quite frankly, if you had at least a quorum there, but you could have, in my opinion, you can have a quorum in an in-person meeting with some people making up that quorum being virtual. And you don't have to give the public the option to have virtual. It's an in-person meeting. The, the applicant and the witnesses are all going to be there. So the board professionals are going to be there with the exhibits, with their testimony. So you could have some board members, for example, if a couple of board members have summer homes or if they have winter homes, instead of losing board members, now you can actually have board members participate year round. So that's my opinion on it. It's up to you guys when you want to go. You can go back to in-person before the state of emergency is terminated, as long as you comply with any regulations. As I understand it, though, right now, you could have an in-person meeting with no masks.
What about distancing, though? Would you have to spread out more than usual?
Right now?
If you're vaccinated, you don't need to.
If you're vaccinated, you don't need to.
Right.
So I would tend to follow the governing body a bit, but I kind of like this hybrid and a path back to having some public, and I like this hybrid concept where people can also participate, whether it's board or public as well, virtually.
Well, I will make a personal request that I be allowed to do hybrid from June 15th until July 23, because I'm going to be in Israel, and it's going to be awfully hard for me to be there in person, but it's a seven-hour time difference, and I have no problem getting up at 2 o'clock in the morning, which is 7 p.m. 2 o'clock the next day, which is 7 p.m. your day, because I've done it before.
But I certainly think we can space out well enough. I don't know that we'd be able to achieve everybody having 6 feet. I think that's a bit tough, but I think we'd be able to get a pretty decent distance in the...
Could I request that the chairman wear a mask, not for COVID reasons, just because he's not the best-looking fellow I've ever seen?
Just for aesthetics, thank you.
I'll make that motion as long as Mr. Lazarus phones in.
I have a question. I think we would have to work on the technology portion. If we're going to have a hybrid meeting, how are we going to set up virtual in the conference room?
So this is what Lebanon Borough does. So they've been back in in-person meetings now for 3 months. So I've been going out there. Before everyone was vaccinated, they had, this is factual, this is, I'm not, they had some very old board members, and so they absolutely did not want to show up in person. And this is before, you know, the vaccines were available to everybody. And so they set up a big monitor in the room, and you need an IT person to help you. They wired it into a laptop. And so they had a Zoom meeting going with the monitor up there, and they had a camera on a tripod.
Right.
Shining at they had two cameras actually. One, they had split screen, one showing the board, one showing the witness and the easel where they had exhibits. And sometimes if the applicant's witness wanted to be able to share stuff, the applicant's witness brought a laptop and clicked onto Zoom. They had to mute themselves because our ears were blown out before we realized that. But then he could share an exhibit, and he didn't even have to have the physical exhibit there, and everyone in the room could see it on the screen, and the people participating over Zoom could also see it. So that's what something like that you would presumably do.
And Denise, this is Kate. Sorry, if you want to talk offline about how I can help facilitate that, we do that for massive hearings and stuff for my work life. So I can help you with that offline.
Oh, neat. Very neat.
Yeah, well, thank you. But I think that's something that would maybe go back to Brian and maybe Kevin, because
yeah,
as far as facilitating, you know, the cost aspects of it.
Yeah, the cost we'd have to see.
Yeah, I think it's worth looking at. Look, I know, just like I said, from my day job, I've been going to a lot, and they're doing these hybrids. And I think the hybrid is a nice sweet spot here, where if you can get it to work, where people can call in or dial in, but you can also have some public. That's what we're here for. So,
is the public calling into that meeting in Lebanon?
Yes. Yeah. Some people showed up in person. Some people called in. I can tell you this. Whereas before, it's very interesting. Depending on the application, if you have, you know, you have two people, right, and they have kids, and they both work, and they have stuff that they got to do at night. They're not going to be able to come out. It enabled people like that to be able to listen and participate where they otherwise there's no way they would have been able to unless they would have to pay for a babysitter.
Yeah. We've had much better turnout at council virtually than we have had in person, right. That's for sure. I'm just curious about how you administer. We'd have to look at it. I'll take a look at it.
You have it right. Is it designated? It's not fair to put it on the secretary.
Right.
You need two people. You need one person. The secretary's got to be the in-person, you know, she's taking the notes, she's taking the minutes, she's marking the exhibits. She can't be worried about the hybrid portion of the meeting. So in Greenwich, they have one of the board members be in charge of that. In Lebanon, the board secretary does everything. And because of that, this is not because of her. I don't want this to be misinterpreted. But it's an awful lot for her to do, so sometimes we just have to pause because she can't do two things at once. No one can.
I nominate Mr. Lazarus as long as he can use a flip phone.
Well, and something I was just thinking of, Brian, regarding the cost aspect. I mean, we have laptops. And I think we might just need some IT help. I mean, the cost of TVs has really come down.
Oh, yeah. And the camera, I'm sure, too, might not be that expensive.
Yeah.
You just have to figure out how that system works and what the cost is.
Right.
And can the infrastructure that's in the building at the police station support it? That's the other.
Right. Would we need, a Wi-Fi upgrade? Right. You know?
But it would solve a concern that I know our clerk has, which I think – didn't you share as far as recording the ease of recording that WebEx has offered and the quality of the audio.
We've had a lot of problems with the audio in the past. It's like a almost kind of like a workaround system. And also we've always had the intermittent feedback with the microphones.
Yeah. It's almost like a reel-to-reel system.
Yeah.
Right. You also have to make a decision on Zoom versus WebEx.
Yep. Is the idea?
Oh my gosh! Please.
John's got to work on Tom.
He'll be the Lone Ranger. He'll just have to follow his friends.
If this was Zoom, my head wouldn't be green. Okay.
I would say the same thing. My experience has been Zoom is bad. I hate to say it. WebEx is clunky.
Yeah.
Is the idea to keep a hybrid model permanently for the public?
Yeah. I would say at least in the intermediate.
Flexibility or?
I would say at least moving back to reality.
If we're going to invest in it and go down that road, I would say we would do that.
Sounds great.
No, it just makes perfect sense in the 21st century.
I think it's the reasonable expectation now that people are sort of used to it. And to John's point, the married couple, what have you, just a public access point of view, if nothing else, I think.
We have a council meeting in 2 days, and I would ask Joel to remind me to bring this up and have it as a discussion, too, because we've been talking about reopening the building to the public in July and restarting our meetings in person. I think I've had side conversations briefly with Tom as well about that. So we'll circle up and get that. Going.
Just subject to your judgment about my technological prowess, I'd be happy to help on the, the machine operator side if it works.
That's great because it's already happening in the private sector, right?
Right.
Exactly.
It's, like I know with my employer, like hybrid is here to stay.
Yeah.
So. And another thing to consider is. During this time, we have basically done away with all of the paper application submissions.
Mm-hmm. We can't do away with the paper application submissions unless the MLUL is amended, but board members, if they're comfortable getting stuff electronically and not in paper, that's their business, quite frankly.
Right, that's what I meant. Yeah, the board file, we're getting one copy instead of multiple copies.
Right.
I'm happy with that. The electronic stuff is fantastic.
Yeah. The board professionals need to have paper. I mean, I find it, if I don't have my paper with me, I find it, but I'm also taking notes. And so I have trouble taking notes if I also have to look on the laptop, although My wife tells me if I got a second screen, then I would be able to multitask like she can do. So.
Dina has two screens.
Would we like, say, one set of paper copies for the board to have on the dais, like to have full-size plans to review, or not necessary?
That's not a bad idea. John's going to make a lot of rustling noises as he's opening and closing and trying to find the right page.
Well, because, you know, I'll have to, you know, revise the submission process, you know, so,
right.
People, so that I, you know, get the right number of copies.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, one paper copy for the board file, which I keep in the office for the professionals, and then we'll do one.
Yeah, but you also have to contact every single board member to see what their preference is. If a board member wants paper, they're entitled to paper. I know, at least on the Board of Adjustment, there'll be at least one person I know who will want paper.
Okay.
I don't want paper.
I know exactly who you mean.
Yeah.
I could, yeah.
And it's possible, John, to allow the public access to electronic files, correct? For applications.
Yeah, right, and that's the other part of it. When Denise does the Denise, what's the name of it again? I can't
remember. Dropbox.
The Dropbox.
The Dropbox. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it makes it easy for the public instead of having to come down there look at the board file. They can
100%.
Or Denise has always been willing to email things to people.
Yeah, and that actually brings up a point, Bill, that we didn't touch on with our reports. Bill and I are on a subcommittee working on an update to our website. So the township's website will be more secure and up to date and updatable. So
right, and allow us to post things more easily.
Good. Well, thank you all. That was a good little discussion. I think that's some good ideas. Thank you. And thank you for your time. This was a lot of activity in an hour and a half. This group does an awful lot of work in an efficient time. I will say that. So that being said, is there something somebody wants to say?
Certain motion someone wants to make. Let's be a little bit more direct about it.
I'll make it. Let's motion to adjourn. I don't know who's at the end anymore.
Yeah.
I'll second it.
I think it's Kate.
All in favor? All right. Thank you, everybody.
Mr. Drill, safe travels on your trip to the Holy Land.
Yep. Yes, thank you.
Try to get rid of the green hair.
Especially
I know.
It doesn't look like a leprechaun, you know?
I feel like a leprechaun. All right.
Thanks,
everybody.
Good night.
Take care.